Friends, Scripture gives us words of life that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit become the word of life. So let us listen for that word in this lesson. Our scripture this morning comes from John's Gospel, John, which is in so many ways the most poetic of our Gospels, right? It's John who gives us those remarkable words about the light at the beginning, right? This particular passage comes from John 8, and it's a passage that is sort of located after Jesus has begun his ministry. And it's not typically associated with Christmas, but it is, I think, a powerful reminder for us, especially in the season of Advent. And so our scripture this morning is from John 8, beginning at verse 12. Once again, Jesus addressed the people, "I am the light of the world. No follower of mine shall walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Pharisees said to Jesus, "You are witnessing your own cause. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus replied, "My testimony is valid, even though I do testify on my own behalf, because I know where I come from and where I am going. But you know neither where I come from nor where I am going. You judge by worldly standards. I pass judgment on no one. If I do judge, my judgment is valid, because it's not I alone who judge, but I and he who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. And I am a witness in my own cause, and my other witness is the Father who sent me." "Where is your father?" they asked him. Jesus replied, "You do not know me or my father. If you knew me, you would know my father too." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. I once had a student who didn't come to school for the first week of class. I was new to teaching, new to that town. There was a lot I didn't know. Every school is its own little thing. It has all of its own germs, and it has its own little rules, right? So I didn't know a whole lot. I assumed that my student, Steve, was sick, and, you know, it had to be serious because nobody would miss the first week of school for something that was not serious. I waited for someone to explain what was up, and nobody ever did. And finally, I said to someone, I forget who, I probably didn't even know quite who they were at that point anyway. I said, so I have this student, Steve. He hasn't been here. It's Friday. He must be really sick. And they said, "Oh, no, he's not sick. He and his brother and his dad were awarded a fall license to hunt bear in Alaska." And I forget exactly what I said. I think it was something really profound like, "Oh." Anyway, the person went on. They said, "Fall bear hunting licenses in Alaska are rare for people out of state to get. There is this lottery, so if you get one." And I nodded as if I understood, but I did not understand. Not even a little bit. I kept imagining days back in the American frontier when, you know, kids were sort of, you know, everybody had to work 35 hours a day. And, you know, if there was a chance for kids to be in school, people would do whatever it took to make them, to get them to school. And I was like, well, those days are gone. I imagined my own dad who, you did not get to be sick in the Grant family. That was not allowed. You know, if I had sort of coughed up a lung, my father would have said, "Well, please show me the lung and then we can discuss whether you're going to go to school." That was the way that it worked in my family. But in any case, that wasn't how it was in Steve's family, and off he went to go bear hunting. And I suppose there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not my cup of tea, but so what? It is a remarkable experience, I'm sure, to go do that. Of course, I would also be of the opinion that the chance to start a new school year is also a remarkable opportunity, too. And in any case, however it is you recognize it, the fact that time is precious and should be spent intentionally, purposefully, joyfully, is something that I think people who go bear hunting and people who go to school can surely agree on. And that has me thinking, actually, about the Christmas season. Because as we know, the burdens of the Christmas season can be many, especially for parents of young children, although not exclusively for them. We probably all know people who look at the December calendar and just sort of seem to get a sinking feeling because the calendar suddenly seems so full, and you start to imagine spending most of your December in the car going from one place to another, not that the places where you're going are bad places to go. Of course, there are also people who have that same kind of sinking feeling, but it's because their calendar is no longer full in the way that it once was. And that hurts. And you start to feel like maybe you're one of those misfit toys on that island from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Christmas pulls us in so many different directions at once, doesn't it? What's that have to do with hunting bears in Alaska, you ask? I think it's about intention. I think it's about how it is that we decide we are going to spend our time. And the worst thing we can do is somehow just roll into a whole other season, checking the boxes, sort of skittering along the surface of our lives in this season when we're invited especially to go deeper. We should take the opportunity, I think, to do that. How do you do it? Well, I have a solution to that, too. I think we need to start issuing licenses for Christmas. This is what I learned from bear hunting. If you got to get a bear hunting license, I mean, don't you feel like in Alaska, if you see a bear, you're allowed to just hunt it? Apparently not. You need a license. You need a license to go on pilgrimage to Mecca. You need a license in order to run the Boston Marathon. You got to qualify, and then you apply. You need to apply for a beach pass to Greenwich, don't you? So what if it? What then? So stay with me. What if we applied for Christmas? It would change everything, wouldn't it? Instead of something that we try to get through the best we can, the chance to celebrate Christmas could be the culmination of a lifelong dream. You just won the World Series. What are you going to do? I'm going to celebrate Christmas. That's how it should be. Talk about surviving the holidays would be bad form, right? Bad form. Imagine if O Come All Ye Faithful was something you only knew about because your grandmother had sung it once when she was a girl at midnight on Christmas Eve, and they had pictures from it, but that's all that they had. And you'd seen those pictures. And now you are going to get to sing it yourself. Imagine putting up Christmas lights when all of your neighbors would come to watch in utter astonishment. Imagine the family members near and far who would make a point of getting over their petty estrangements and those little opinions they have that make you crazy about each other, and they would put that all aside because they wanted to be able to be part of this unforgettable thing, this once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generation thing. Wouldn't that be better as a way of doing Christmas? I think it would be. We can think of ourselves as people who celebrate Christmas. Sometimes people will describe it in a way that's even frostier. They'll say, well, I observe Christmas. This is very different than what I think our tradition wants us to do at this time. I think our tradition invites us not to observe Christmas, certainly, or even to celebrate Christmas. I think our tradition is trying to get us to become a Christmas people. And that's very different. Because to be a Christmas people is to imagine that Christmas isn't something that you watch or something that you do, but is actually something that you become. And in a season that's all about the idea of God becoming human, the idea of what we become is at the heart of the transformation that is promised at Christmas. And that's how it should be. It shouldn't be about us getting into the Spirit. It should be about the Spirit that has gotten into us. And there should be no place for faking it. At first, this morning, Scripture may seem a long way from all that, but if you listen carefully, what you heard in Jesus' debate with the Pharisees about the validity of his testimony was actually all about this. Jesus has just said to this crowd, I am the light of the world. No follower of mine shall walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. I'll leave it to the Pharisees, right? Leave it to the Pharisees to try to chop that right up. The Gospels routinely portray them doing that, and that's what they try to do here. But Jesus' response is particularly worth noting. He says, I do testify on my own behalf because I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you know neither. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Do we know? That's the question, right? That's the question. The affirmation of the great story of our faith is that in those times where we don't know where we're going, God knows. And God knows because God is very, very sure about where it is we come from, which is to say we come from God. And so as people who awaken to the power of that story, awaken to this great claim of the God who loves us and who loves creation too much to imagine that we could not be a part of it somehow. This deeper, deeper claim on us. About who we are, where we come from, and where we're going lies at the heart of this season. What is it that allows us, finally allows us, to celebrate Christmas? I think the idea is just that. Knowing where we come from. And beginning by whatever star we travel, to begin to get a sense of where we're going. Christmas seeks to be that star in our lives, to reorient us, to guide us, and to let us know that whatever road we're traveling on, God is with us in the journey. We love the details of Christmas, don't we? The star, the shepherds, the manger, the wise ones, all the things we love and pass down to our kids, I mean, as soon as they can walk. But let's remember all those wonderful details about this remarkable story are only there to remind us of who this baby really is, where he truly comes from, and where he's going. Because where he comes from and where he's going has so much to teach us about where we come from and where we're going. And the point is that he's the light of the world. So maybe we're ready to apply for that Christmas license this year. Or maybe we're not quite ready. Maybe what we need is a year or two of going about our business in the usual way, but keeping our ear to the ground for stories about people who actually got their license and what they did with it. People who gratefully discovered new hope in old hymns. The strange delight of bringing a tree into your living room and putting things under it that you worked hard to get and then just kind of give away. Maybe we need to hear about people who astonished their neighbors by putting little lights that shine in darkness right on the sides of their house and candles in the window to remind everyone who passes by of homes where someone waits for them. Maybe we need to hear about people who felt a renewed sense of obligation to those they might not otherwise know. Girls who need bicycles to go to school on the other side of the world. Men sleeping on the street at the other end of a nearby bus line, right here on Putnam Avenue. We need to remember about people who decided to sit down and read the actual gospel stories of Christmas for the first time since their confirmation and think about what it was they heard in them then, what they hear now. Maybe we need to give a little more time to listening for God in the quiet of the evening when everyone else is in bed and the only sound is the sound of the dishwasher whirring in the other room. Maybe after a couple of years of hearing about those people and their Christmases, we'll be able to hear that Christmas story for ourselves. And soon enough, we'll be ready to apply for that Christmas license. It is the second Sunday of Advent. Applications are now open. Operators are standing by. Act now, while supplies last.